The TCP/IP protocol turns 40 this month, September 2021. It was released on September 1981. Almost my age. I'm 38, but man, I just want to make this video to kind of pay tribute. No, you do tributes for people who die, right? No. Show my respect. That's for people who's dead too. No. To show my appreciation for this pretty and beautiful and sexy protocol. And show a little bit how it works. You know, when you read about this protocol, you read this junk. You know, everybody's talking about junk. You know, it's like about theory. Like, oh, IP is routing and addressing, and TCP is for retransmission. Ugh, no one cares. Talk about actual what is happening on the internet. Let's jump about it and talk about this stuff. Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. This is the show where we discuss the art and the craft of building software and cover recent news on backend technologies. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcast. With that said, let's get on the show. Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. And TCP/IP is the protocol that has been built to standardize communication between two computers. It was first built by for the Department of Defense in America, but I think it's called ARPA. I don't know the history, and frankly, I don't really care. You know, some okay, we needed networking, we built it, right? I just interested in how it was built. Okay, it was built, the history of it, fine, we appreciate it, okay? But I find myself falling asleep every time when someone talks about ARPA. I don't know if it was just me, right? I was like, okay, we get it. It's old, right? But now I want to talk about the layers, right? Just the IP and TCP, just these two, right? Maybe we'll mention UDP. But before we talk about the IP protocols, we have two computers, and each of them have a network card, and the network card have an identifier that is uniquely global called the MAC address, right? Why don't we use this for the global communication? It will be unique, right? Let's just use that, right? Because that's what everybody thinks about. It's like, okay, since I have a unique address and we have this idea of frames at layer two, the data of layer, as the OSI model calls it, why don't we just communicate with MAC addresses? I'm willing to type in my MAC address on the browser. That's probably a bad idea because you can't remember that. But yeah, have DNS point to the MAC address, and then it's the same thing. Why do we need this IP thing, right? Let's think about it, right? The MAC address are truly random. They are just random. They don't have any knowledge about a network or anything like that. So imagine a group of networks or computers connected to each other. And they have all these wires crossed to the switch or whatever, right? And they're connected. Let's say you want to send a message from MAC address A to MAC address B. What do you do? Okay? You have to send it to everybody. There is no way that tells you that this MAC address that, oh, let's take a shortcut. I know that these MAC addresses are only in this area. Let's just take this shortcut, right? But this MAC address is actually not in this group. Like, so they only broadcast it here. it's impossible to scale in billions and billions of devices. You're gonna scan the whole internet. That's dead on arrival, right? So that's the problem with MAC addresses. They are not routable, right? You have to send it to everybody, and whoever gets it and they check that it's actually theirs, then they accept the packet, right? I know bridges and switches kind of have smart capability where they say, okay, if a MAC address, if a source MAC address send me something from this particular port, then it must exist, right? Then I keep track in my table that says, okay, MAC address A is actually on this port, so it does exist. So if you do send MAC addresses to the switch, right, then it knows, oh, actually A is on this side of the bridge or the switch, right? So you don't really need to spam every port that you have with all that stuff. But how would that scale on the internet? It's impossible. You plug in devices all. Yeah, this might work on an enterprise network, you know, where you have a few thousands computer maybe. But in the internet, it will not work. So people needed a way to differentiate a sub network from the hosts, right? So the idea of having the whole network and then create subnetworks, and then find a way that if I send you the address, what we're going to call it some name now, find a way to eliminate where we're going to send it next. Find a way to shortcut this. Instead of scanning the 100 networks, only send it to 2 or 1. That is the trick here, just like a database, right? When you have a database and you have a large table, right, with 100 million rows, the shortest path to scan and find what you're looking for is to not scan 100 million rows. You do anything that you can to avoid scanning 100 million rows. That includes partitioning the table, that includes indexing the table, and only going to the things that you absolutely sure that this is the page that contains the row I'm looking for. Very similar with the concept of routing here. That's why the IP protocol, the internet protocol, was invented. And as a result, you now have IP addresses with four octets. Is that 4 bytes? Right, 4 bytes. So you have around 4 billion addresses that you can address. And they thought back in 1981 that was enough. And to be honest, with NAT, I still think it's okay, right? But I know IPv6, I don't know much about networking, to be honest. I know this basic things that I can comfortably talk about, but IPv6, I don't see it as popular as it claims to be. Might be wrong though. Let me know in the comment section if you think otherwise. But yeah, I see it picking up. Most of 90% of the time I work with IPv4, right? Despite us being in 2021. So now the IP address contains two portions, whether you like it or not. The network side, what network do you belong in? This is also determined by something called a subnet mask, right? That's why the subnet mask is very critical to be shipped with the IP address. You can't really determine the network without the mask. You need to know the mask with it, right? So now when you apply your mask, you know that, oh, this is the network. And the network, I can go into details with that, but in general, you can find out that this is the network, right? And the network can have a lot of machines and hosts, but it gives you a general idea. This network is actually on this side. Oh, this network is actually on this side, right? So just like that, instead of scanning individual hosts like the MAC address, now you're scanning networks, and you can the network can grow big and large, and you can have multiple subnetworks until you find it. Eventually the destination. That's the shortcut, that's the routing idea, right? So now the IP protocol, which is this layer 3 thing, always have two pieces that are critical to us, at least engineers, right? Network engineers might look at the IP header and have more information that they are interested in. I'm interested in too. Where is this packet coming from? And where is this packet going to? And this is just the information it has. Source IP, destination IP. Where are you coming from? Source IP, this, right? Where are you going to? This IP address. And then based on that knowledge, each router will receive this IP packet and will look at the destination address and says, oh, you're going to this particular IP address. Which subnetwork it is? Let me apply the subnet mask. So instead of having X amount of options and ports to send it to, this network is actually just in this port. Send it there, right? Not just send it there. The router makes a lot of decisions here. It makes, says, okay, yeah, I can get to this host through this particular network. And also from my history, I also got to it from this particular network. So there are multiple networks and there is cost associated with it. So it cost me X amount of this cost, right, to go through this versus, X over 2, right? So one, cost, like, for example, 5 versus 2. Of course, you're going to pick the shortest. Not all the time, but you can pick the shortest path. You send it this way. Just like that, by saying that the router makes this decision and there's multiple paths to the same destination, all routes lead to Rome eventually, the IP packets will be delivered into different routes, even if they are going to the same destination, right? Because you're going to the same destination at this moment of time, port A is available, but after a few milliseconds, port B is actually faster because port A goes through a path that is actually congested and we're losing packets. So let's go here. And we'll go here and all of a sudden, now you can deliver the packets and they were going to arrive out of order. They're going to arrive mumbled. They might be lost. The IP packets don't care. The IP packets don't care. The IP protocol don't care about actually delivering and making sure it reaches. It's going to tell you if it reaches that it's actually bad. I think it has a checksum. I might be wrong. Maybe that is UDP. But yeah, when you actually arrive there, you just arrive at the address. You arrive at the machine that has this IP address. That's pretty much it. Not much information, is it? This IP address might not be even the actual final machine. Why? It could be the router. It could be your NAT router. And just that, like, okay, as a router, as a public router, you represent maybe 5 or 6 or 7 private LAN machine. Which one is the one actually sent me this? I have no idea. Right? That's what goes into the discussion of NAT and stuff like that. But yeah, regardless, the IP protocol just delivers it to the machine. You have no idea which application even requested that. Is it this process over there? Or is it this browser instance? Or this Brave tab? Who sent this packet? Who knows? You have no clue, right? That is why another protocol was invented on top of that to solve, quote unquote, solve these problems, give you finer controls, right? It's like, I want to identify not just my machine is not running one application like in the 1980s. Yeah, if you're in the 1980s, you have one application on this machine, then the IP packet that arrives to this machine must belong to this application. No, we're running many applications, my friend. We're running many applications and we want to uniquely identify these applications. Meet ports. That's why the TCP, Transmission Control Protocol, introduces ports, right? UDP too. But now, you have the idea of ports. Now, yeah, I have two unique identifiers. I have the host, which is the IP address. Once the IP packet reaches, nope, not enough. You got to tell me where are you going. The operating system needs to know which port you're addressing. If you're on a web app, you're usually going to port 80 if it's unencrypted. Nobody visits port 80 anymore. Everything is encrypted because that's the way it is. My God. And you go to port 443, right? And then you deliver the IP packet into a segment, right, the content, and then it delivers to the application eventually. Right? So now, let's step back and establish a TCP connection, right? The idea of a connection in TCP is designed so that we can guarantee the order of the packets arrive in order, right? Because we talked about how IP have a mind of their own and the routers will just randomly pick the shortest path, right? And as a result, the IP packets might arrive out of order, even if they are sent from different machines, right? If you're sending a GET request from your Fetch app, Fetch API, that might translate to many, many IP packets, right? And they will not arrive in order, even if you send them in order. The internet will take different paths, and then eventually they're going to arrive out of order. So the TCP connection establishes the stateful thing and marks each packet with a sequence number. Say, okay, packet. Your sequence number one. Okay, you're two, you're three, you're four, you're five, you're six, right? It's not as easy, but you get the idea. There is the length and stuff like that. So the sequences are not in order. They are offset with the size of the actual content, but you get the idea. So, okay, one, two, three, four, and the other destination, when the TCP connection at the other end receives this content, it will start ordering them. Oh, you're one, you're two, got it, three, seven. Oh, wait a second, where is five and six? I'm gonna wait, I'm gonna block. Let's wait. Five and six didn't arrive. Retransmit, ask for a retransmission. Sorry, I didn't get this. Please resend it back. It takes care of all that stuff. So that means TCP guarantees this beautiful reliability. And as a result, it is slower, right? It's slower. That's why a lot of people don't like TCP, because it's slower, because it does have all that stuff. And it has so many other features. It says, okay, I need to kind of take the pulse on the network, you know? I'm going to start slow. I'm going to start sending you just smaller packets, right? But eventually I'm going to increase this window, right? So I can feel the congestion control, right? This is called congestion control. You don't want to send huge amount of data when the network starts, because they are going to get lost, right? A lot of packets means congestion, means slow. I mean, if it's slow, then the other party won't receive it. They will ask for retransmission. Retransmission means slow. That is an indication that packets are being dropped. And when packets are being dropped, which means usually that you're sending too much data. Slow down, son. And that's how the TCP also controls congestion. It's like, okay, slow down. Oh, go ahead. Open. So it will just basically control that stuff. There's a lot of stuff. But as a result, it slows things down, right? But it has these features. So IP, it just addresses the actual host going to this machine, right? And the TCP has also ports, sequences, and stuff, windows, length, and have many, many other stuff as well. But what we engineers interested in, especially a backend engineer, I'm interested in port. That's pretty much the only thing I care about TCP, to be honest. Well, maybe in the send, right, request and the acts, right? The initiation, like, oh, I'm about to establish a connection. That's called, by the way, synchronization, right? the synchronization request to synchronize this sequences that we talked about, right? Because you need to agree about these sequences, right, of the packets that we're going to send. So another thing I didn't mention is when you want to go at a higher level, you're on the application layer, and you want to send a piece of data, say I want to send a GET request, or GET slash HTTP 1.1, blah, blah, headers, cookies, blah, 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 blah. So many, a bunch of bytes, right, at the end of the day. This will be translated to TCP segments, right? So we're layer 4 now, which is the TCP. You start breaking that. Okay, I don't know, the maximum TCP segment size, MSS is, I don't know, 128 bytes. So pop, 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 pop. You start breaking up. I don't know. I have five TCP segments. Well, each TCP segment will be added, pended with the destination port. Where are you going? We're going to port 443. Where are you coming from? This is the client port, which is another kind of randomly generated port, so that when the packet comes back, the host, right, when we send response back from the server, we know where to deliver it, right? So the source port is very critical as well, right? So the source port, same thing, and the destination port, that's 443, right? So the destination port is 443, the source port is just a random number, and then you add these headers over and over again. And this header cost, or the TCP segment, is around 40 bytes. Yes, it's big. So if you're sending five, that's a lot of overhead. And get this, each TCP segment, including the ports and the 40 headers, is shoved into an IP packet. And now, layer 3, which is the IP protocol, is just, it doesn't even care what's inside it. All it takes this port, destination port, source port, and the part of the GET request, shove it into the IP packet. Go your merry way. You are going to this IP address, and you're coming from this source IP address. Routers, take care of routing this IP packet. What's inside it? You don't care. You should not look inside it. But routers do, actually. It's another topic. So IP, all of what routers see are just a flood of IP packets just going to the destination and the source address. That's it. It doesn't care what's inside it. So they will be essentially shifted left and right, all that stuff. Until they reach the destination, they're going to reach out of order. The other destination is going to reorder them, retransmit as needed. Right? Some routers actually, especially my ISP router, right, this router you have at home, actually keeps track of the connections. It's like, oh, wait a second. All right, you want to go, you have an IP address that is private, 192.168.1.3, right? You can't send that off the public internet. You're naked. You can't go out. Wait. I, as a router, I have a public IP address. I'm going to NAT you up. Get it? NAT you up. Network address translation. I like that. So now I'm going to change your source IP address from 192.168.1.3 to 44.1.3, my public IP address. This is now me presenting you. But wait a second. I'm representing all these private machines as well, 192.168.1.7 and 8 and 9. And so we need some sort of a table to map that, okay, you went to this destination, you came from this port, I'm going to add a record, uniquely identify that points back to you. So that when packets come back to that source port that you told me of, I'm going to send it back to you. I know exactly which host machine, and I know exactly which source port that you originally used, right? And the router at this stage actually keeps track of the connection. So, okay, you sent me a send request to establish a connection. All right. I know you just established a connection. I'm going to keep track. All right. You better send me, the next thing you need to send me is a send ACK. All right. And then ACK. That's just to protect against attacks and spoofing attacks and stuff like that. Plus, the routers doesn't want you just to keep a connection alive forever. It will say, okay, you established a connection with this server and you left it for, I don't know, an hour, I'm going to drop any knowledge about this connection. So the next data you sent, the router verifies. Says, wait a second, you're trying to send data to this source IP address? What is this? Let me look. Oh, that's a TCP segment? Oh, sorry, you can't send a TCP segment. You never established a connection with this guy. You better establish a connection with this guy first. But I did. No, you didn't. I have no knowledge. The router dropped the knowledge about the connection. But yeah, all this rambling, guys, just make me appreciate this protocol, right? The IP protocol and the things on top of it, the TCP, and all the features built in the TCP. The problem with these features built in the TCP is it's just there's too many features that not everybody needs, because sometimes we want to jump ahead to the IP protocol, and I just want ports. Give me the features of ports, right? Give me the features of delivering packets to an application, not just a host and a particular application. That thing. I don't care about retransmission because you're slow and you don't know the context about my application, because you just treat packets as packets. No, my packets are not just packets. I have more knowledge, right? And that's how HTTP2 came into the picture, suffered from TCP head blocking, and then Quick came into the picture and pushed that knowledge on top of UDP and introduced the idea of streams, which I talked about in many, many other videos, right? So that just makes you appreciate. So let's take a moment to appreciate this beautiful protocol, the IP protocol and the TCP protocol that literally everybody's using. It's used everywhere. And one last thought, guys, while we do appreciate this protocol, right, it's always good to challenge it, right? Ask questions. Says, okay, why are things the way they are? Because most probably not a lot of people know the answer, because it's just forgotten. People just did, right? People who built this were in 1981. Probably they were late age, and most of them are probably dead, right? And this knowledge are just lost with them. Yeah, some knowledge are transferred on books, but you can't translate everything, right? Some of the knowledge will be lost. Some people will just lose the fact, okay, why are we doing this way? Because we just always done it this way, right? You can challenge literally everything, but unfortunately, we are bound at least to the IP protocol. Because if you want to send something across the internet, you have to use at least IP. You don't have to use UDP. You don't have to use TCP. But at least you have to use IP, right? I don't know. Middle routers might actually check you have to use at least UDP or TCP. But I don't know. What if you created your own protocol on top of IP directly? Hey, my host is just a single machine with a single app. You create a special protocol that is just a delivering. If I deliver something to this host, and it's not just any operating system, it's just a whole custom thing, right? And I just want it to be delivered. And it's okay if it's out of order, because I want just the gist of it. I want certain information about this. Just deliver it. Make it as tiny as possible. And just deliver that note. UDP, which is this connectionless thing, is usually does most of the job. It does the job really well. But what if you can build something even better? And can you even build it? I don't know. It's good to think about all these things. All right, guys, that was a quick video to appreciate the TCP/IP protocol. I'm going to see you in the next one. You guys stay awesome. Goodbye.